Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you hungry for something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Genesis, and we'll be continuing today with part two of Jacob, Laban, and the consequences of deceit. So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So here we see God taking compassion on this woman, Leah. She was unloved. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Now, of course, in that culture, having children was something that was very important, and especially having sons. And Leah had hoped that through bearing a son for Jacob, this would win Jacob over. But that didn't happen. So she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means heard. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me. Because I have borne him three sons, therefore his name was called Levi, and Levi means attached. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, praise. Then she stopped bearing. So God blesses Leah because she's unloved, because there's hostility toward her from Rachel. It almost seems that with Leah, she's, at this point at least, she's sort of looking beyond Jacob and she's looking to the Lord. So she names her son Praise. The previous three sons, their names were indicating her desire toward her husband. But now with Judah, she's got her eyes on the Lord. Now, chapter 30, verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb? Now, poor Jacob. I mean, this is a tough situation, you know. It just, you know, had so many unpleasant aspects to it. And a lot of times, like Rachel, you know, we're looking at a person and we're thinking that, you know, it's your responsibility and you need to do this for me. And I'm miserable because you haven't, you know, come through with this. Or, you know, we're looking at those kinds of things when the fact of the matter is, it's God that we need to look to. Rachel needed to look to the Lord. Jacob couldn't do anything for her. And all of us need to remember that every one of us need to ultimately be looking to the Lord. And here, Jacob, inadvertently, is definitely giving Rachel the right counsel. Basically saying, go to God. I can't really do anything for you. And so she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her and she will bear a child on my knees that I also may have children by her. It's interesting. This is one family. We're following generation after generation, and look how they're repeating the same kinds of things. This is exactly what Sarah said to Abraham in regard to Hagar. And so Bilhah now is going to become the surrogate. And through Bilhah, Rachel is going to have these two sons, Dan and Naphtali. But when Leah sees that Rachel has given Bilhah to Jacob, then Leah, she says, well, I'm going to give Zilpah to Jacob. And I'm going to get some more kids. I mean, this is like fierce competition going on in this family to see who can produce more kids. And so through Zilpah comes Gad and also Asher. Now, verse 14, when Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and he found mandrakes in the field and he brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now, mandrakes, the Hebrew word, actually means love apples. And so the idea seems to be that this was some sort of a fruit that either actually did or it was believed that it led to a greater fertility with the women and probably to increased sexual desire. And so that's really what's going on here. Reuben's come up with the mandrakes and Rachel wants some of them. She obviously believes that this could help her situation. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? So look at the tension between these sisters. And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. So I don't know what Jacob thought about any of this, but when he came in out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. So God listened to Leah, and she conceived, and she bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. And Issachar, again, means wages. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun, which means dwelling. So now with Leah, she then afterward bears to Jacob a daughter, verse 21, and called her name Dinah. So Leah has, notice, she has six children of her own. She has two children from her handmaid. She has seven children, counting Dinah. And Rachel, at this point, is still barren. All Rachel has are the children that came from Bilhah. But then, verse 22, then God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph. And said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Here is the amazing thing. She finally has a son. And what does she say the minute she has him? I want another one. You know, this is the thing she's been crying out for. This is the thing she's been wanting so desperately. She finally has a son and she names him, I want another one. Talk about insatiable. I mean, she just cannot be satisfied. But here's where we are introduced to Joseph. He comes now into the picture. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place, to my country. So again, we've got a long period of time, obviously, all these children being born. And again, just a few verses really covering several years. But now Jacob, having served Laban all of these years, he wants to go back now. He wants to go back to his family, and he wants to establish himself no longer as, you know, Laban's servant, but he wants to get out on his own. And so he says, "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you." And Laban said to him, "Please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Then he said, "Name your wages and I will give it." So Jacob said to him, "You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house?" So Jacob's just, you know, making that point. Look, you're blessed, but what about me? I've got nothing. So he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flocks today." So this is the deal that Jacob is making with Laban. "Let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages." Now, these were considered the inferior amongst the sheep and the goats, these speckled and spotted, they were considered inferior. So Jacob is saying, you know, give me all the secondhand sheep, basically. "So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me." And Laban said, "Oh, that it were according to your word." So Laban thinks, well, this is a great deal. Okay, I'm in. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and he gave them into the hand of his son. And then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar, and of almond and of chestnut trees, peeled white stripes in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. Now, this whole practice that Jacob developed here, nobody knows why he did this or what the significance of it was. So he either did this because he knew something that people today don't even know, or he might have done it, some think it was maybe just superstitious. But what we do know is that the desired result, that the flocks would produce the spotted, the speckled, the streaked sheep and goats, that's what happened. But as we read further in the story, it becomes pretty obvious that it was actually God who did this. It wasn't Jacob's whatever it was that he did here. That wasn't really the secret to this blessing upon the flock. The Lord would make it clear later that he was the one who was blessing Jacob because of Laban's mistreatment of him over the years. And so as we read on through just the last few verses of the chapter, it pretty much just tells us that Jacob, he ended up with the better end of the deal, because all of the sheep were producing after the kind that he had described would be his. And so Laban, who thought he was going to come out ahead in this, Laban is actually on the losing end of the stick here. So I think we just go through 31 rather quickly because it just kind of ties the whole story together. So now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, "Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth." And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. So now there's jealousy, there's hostility that's beginning to develop. So verse 3, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock. And he said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streak shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streak. So God has taken away the livestock of your father, and he has given them to me. And it happened at that time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and he said, I am here. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So this was God overruling and blessing Jacob, because Jacob had been righteous and Laban was taking advantage of him. So Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God had taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And so Jacob arose, set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now, 6 more years have passed, so we'll see here in a moment. We've come up to 20 years. But Laban, he had gone to shear the sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. So as you can see, Jacob takes his family, and without notifying Laban, he heads back toward Canaan. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days' journey and overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night. And he said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched his tent in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with a sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp, and you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. So we've obviously got a big family feud here. It is in my power, Laban says, to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And now you have surely gone because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Why did you steal my gods? That's the big question. Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let him live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have that is yours. Take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So we see now with Laban, Laban is not a believer in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's an idolater. So Jacob's unaware of it. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but he did not find them. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." And he searched, but he did not find the household idols. Then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? See it here before my brethren, your brethren, that they may judge between us both." Now he says, "These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes, your female goats have not miscarried their young. I have not eaten of the rams of your flock. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." Laban was, he wasn't a good man. But the Lord was with Jacob in all of this. And God is forming in Jacob a more godly character through this whole process. So if you have done something foolishly, if you have sown to the flesh, if you are in that place of reaping, know this, that God is still with you, and he's gracious, and he's merciful. We have that promise in his word. And here Jacob is acknowledging, you know, God has been with me, and he's the one that's protected me. So Laban answered, and he said to Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters. These children are my children. This flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these daughters, or to their children whom they have borne? Now therefore come and let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap. And they ate there on the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha. But Jacob called it Galeed. And both of these things mean simply the witness of the heap. So this heap is witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galeed. Also Mizpah. Because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another." Now, what they were saying is, "I don't trust you for a minute. I'm only going to trust God to keep you from the evil that I know you're prone to do. So, if you take other wives," Laban is speaking, "beside my daughters, although no man is with us, to see, God is witness between you and me." Then Laban said to Jacob, "Here is this heap and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham," now listen to this, this is Laban, "the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their fathers judge between us." Now, the God of their fathers, and here's where we see where Laban was at. Laban didn't really know the true God. He didn't have that kind of relationship. But here, he's kind of got the politically correct perspective here. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their fathers judge between us. And Jacob, listen to Jacob though, "Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac." So Jacob's swearing by the Lord. Laban, he's got kind of his own version of God that he's made up here. "And so Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban rose, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Genesis in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of Governed by God. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Jacob, Laban, and the Consequences of Deceit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT0043. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.